Okay, so we are on page 10, and the last thing we saw, the larger topic was, can we find a change after the murder and after the punishment? And we saw that Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, basically, the last thing we saw was that Cain, while being alive, was the siman. He was the sign for two things, really to serve two things. A was to basically show what kind of a misery a person that murder is going through, and B also to be a deterrent to others, not to murder. So that was the Rashar Hirsch last week. So now we are at the bottom of page 10 at the Malbim. And the Malbim said the following, ויאמר השם, השיב לו, הנה אני רוצה שתענש בעונש היותר מר וקשה. I would like you to be punished in the most bitter and harsh punishment. ואחר שאתה טוב לך המוות מהחיים, and because you prefer to die rather than to be alive, אני רוצה שתישאר בחיים המרים האלה שהם מרים ממוות. I want you to stay exactly in the condition that you do not want to be in. As we said many times, you know, the guilt, the misery of the murderer for himself, he would prefer to die, like Yonah, like Eliyahu. God says, no, that's your punishment, stay alive. ומישי יערוג אותך, and if someone will kill you, יעבור על רצוני, he will violate my will. Not only that he will violate, you shall not murder, but also my will is that you will stay alive. שאני רוצה שתחיה, שבזה תקבל עונשך. The best thing for you is to live like you are dying. Now, I will tell you one thing. The what? Right. That's true, but not really. Right, but not really. So, what I will say. So I will say one thing. This is something very, very interesting. Is that what did I want to say with living like that? No. I forgot. Okay, we'll continue. We'll get back to me. Right. No, but it was, I wanted to bring an interesting example, but it'll come back to me. ועל כן, לכן בעבור זה שאתה מתאווה המוות, לכן כל הורי קין שבעתיים יוקם. בעבור הרציחה, ובעבור שבטל רצון השם שרוצה שיחיה כדי לקבל עונשו. So if someone will kill you, שבעתיים יוקם. Meaning he will get double punishment. One for killing A, B for killing you. Because I don't want you to die. That's true. But that's not the concern. The thing is, God wants Cain to be a living example for suffering of being alive. Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you. Oh, now I remember. I told you it will come back to me. They say coffee is good for memory. I don't know. Yeah, this. You know, no, every time it's something else. You know, one time you have a research that if you drink more than one cup of coffee, you're going to lose your memory. Then it says that you need to drink four of them to remember. The other research that said that you will forget. You know, it's just like, I don't know, if you like coffee, just drink it and that's it. So the thing is...
You're young.
Yeah, I'm young. Yeah.
There were so many things that we gave up, and now...
They're all coming back.
Now they're healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. If they are bringing back the schmaltz, so we know we all did well, right? So, really, the thing is the case in the Gemara, in Makot, in Daf Amud Bet, the Gemara describes a very interesting machloket between the tzedukim and the prushim regarding edim zomemim, the conspiring witnesses. And one of the major debates between the Purshim and the Tzdukim was what to do with conspiring witnesses that were caught, obviously, after their testimony, But based on their testimony, we executed someone. So the Tzedukim says, kill them. The Purushim, what we will call today Orthodox, they said no. Only if the person was not executed, you kill them. But if he was already, you don't. So the Tzedukim says, like, what's going on here? And one of the explanations that is being brought by, part of it by the Maharsha and in another Gemara, it's that the idea that sometimes punishment is to atone for someone's sins. Now, we're not going to go into exactly now the ideology or the theology behind punishment and suffering and all of it. It's not now. But the interesting part is that the Maharsha, if I'm not mistaken, says, we don't want them to have kapara. That's why we're not going to kill them. They should continue to live on their lives with what? With knowing that based on their false testimony, we executed a person. This is, now, some people, I will tell you, that some people don't care. They will move on. And even if they are not psychopath, even if they are normal people, whatever normal means, right. But it's you know what, I will tell you, I mean, sometimes we know that people who, you know, killed with a car accident. There was a car accident, and they know that they did not drive as they should, and they killed someone. It was not, like, intentionally. But obviously, when you get into your car drunk, or if you drive 100 when it says 40, your chances to kill someone are pretty high. And they continue on with their lives. Some can't. But the idea is sometimes that you can continue to live your life as a living being, as being alive, but really to want to die. וגם רצה לומר, כי אתה לא ידעת עונש הרוצח. Also, Hashem says to Cain, you didn't really know what's the punishment for a murderer. אבל מי שיהרוג אותך, שכבר ראה גודל העונש של הרציחה, וייסורים המרים שגזרתי עליך, but now anyone else who will kill you, he already what? Knows what kind of a punishment and suffering you went through. אם כן יוקם שבעה פעמים ככה, כי היה לו ללמוד ולא למד. He had to learn and he didn't. Now there is something very interesting here, because based on this interpretation, we also have an interesting view on Cain. You know, we saw in the entire narrative that Cain, to some extent, is being treated by God as in a very forgiving way. Like, there's no, Cain, what did you do? Strike, boom. He have a conversation with Cain, and the thing is that there's a tremendous educational lesson here. Which is, if you had no one to learn from how to behave, I'm going to be less upset with you if you did something wrong. Now, I will tell you that it can be taken to different areas. For example, what do you think? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to develop. So if I don't have a model, someone comes from a broken family, yeah, he lives in very dangerous parts of whatever city, and he murders someone. His role models were none. Would you be more upset with him rather than someone who was educated? More what?
More sympathetic.
More sympathetic. So would you be more lenient in the punishment? That's my question. Yes, no. Well, we spoke about it a little bit in the prior weeks. But when you think about it, this is something interesting here. There is what we call, I think even in the civil judicial system, nesibot mekeilot, which is lenient circumstances or extenuated circumstances. And we do have this thing that, you know, if he or she did not have any role models in their lives, what do you want? Now, we have the expectation that murder is something evil, that everyone needs to understand you cannot take someone else's life. But if life is so cheap, and life is nothing, I know that what I'm doing is wrong. But you know what? Come on. Everyone in my neighborhood did it at least once. And it was not too bad. They continue on with their lives. A. B. Would you expect more from people that have more to lose than people who have nothing to lose? Now, whatever I'm going to say here now, it's not to justify, God forbid, any murder. God forbid, every murder is evil. But when we think about what the Malbim says, God basically said to Cain, look, the first time you did it, you really did not know what you are doing, A, and B, you don't know really the punishment. But everyone else from now on, that's before Lo Tirzach, would know that it's really wrong. By the way, how was he killed, according to the Midrash? By Lemech, but how? Not intentionally. Lemech thought he's an animal, or he was blind, or he was this. But basically, whatever Midrash you're going to pick, the common thread is what? It was by accident. And that's why Lemech is really not punished. So then, the Malbim says, Vayasem Hashem lekain ot, so Hashem made the kain ot, זה בעצמו היה האות. What was the sign? שלא יכה אותו כל מוצאו. That anyone who finds him shouldn't kill him. ממה שראו שהארץ מתקוממה לו, ובשגם למה שכתבו חז"ל ששם לו קרן במצרו, או הזריח עליו צרעת כדי שיופשו ממנו בני אדם מפני צרעתו, מזה עצמו ישמרו את עצמם מן הרציחה ולא יכו אותו. Or according to the Chazal, to our sages, he put a horn in his forehead, or he gave leprosy to him, so people will know him, will notice him, and will remember we should not murder. So Cain, it's interesting, it's almost tzchok agoral, from being raised in a non-educational environment, became what? An educational role model. That's what he became. So that's Cain. Says Rashi, Vayetze Kain, Milifnei Hashem, and Kain left the conversation with God. Now it says Milifnei Hashem, which is pretty redundant because God speaks to him, so obviously. So says Rashi, Yatza be'achna'a kegonev da'at elyona. Kain left the conversation pretending that he got the lesson, but he really did not. He thought he negotiated well, and he will move on with his life. How do we know that? Because it says, Milifnei Hashem. Who else has the same statement, Milifnei Hashem? Yonah. Where? What's the pasuk? Ki lo higid lahem ki boreach hu, Milifnei Hashem. Same similarity. Kain is basically, according to Rashi, Rashi describes Kain in a very negative way. Says Cain basically had to negotiate because he still thinks that he can buy everything. He can buy his way out. Be'eretz nod, be'eretz shekol hagolim nadim sham, kidmat Eden, sham gala aviv shegorash migan Eden, vayashken mikedem legan Eden et shmirat derech mevo agan, sheyesh lilmod sheaya hadam sham. Now this Rashi is very mystical and almost impossible to understand. I want to ask you a question. Where Adam and Chava, when they were expelled, so where did they go? Where did they go? Right, eastern side of Eden. Where is it? Where is it? Iraq? Florida? Where is it? Yeah. So where is it? We don't know. But it was outside of Gan Eden. Now, where was Gan Eden? So when we know where is Gan Eden, we'll know where is east of Gan Eden, right? So Rashi identifies Kidmat Eden, where with? Eretz Nod. What is Nod? Lanud, to move. So he said that what? That Cain first went to where? To the same place that his father first moved to or was expelled to. So I want to ask you a question one second. So what exactly happened? So Adam and Chava were born and whatever created, they were in Gan Eden. Then they were expelled to this Kidmat Eden, and then they were They wandered around. And where was Cain? With them, and then he was also what? Wandering around. So after the punishment, what does he do? Wandering around, right? He was the first wandering Jew. Right, so what's going on here? There is nothing different. According to Rashi, in a way, Cain now, instead of creating some kind of a progress to the universe, he did what? Regression. They went back to square one, which is Adam and Chava after the Chet. Umatzinu ruach mizrachit koletet bechol makom et harotzchim, shenemar az yavdil Moshe mizrach hashamesh. And he went to the eastern side of Gan Eden because the east has this, spirit of tolerance to tolerate the rotzchim. India, Thailand, yeah. דבר אחר בארץ נאות, כל מקום שהיה הולך הייתה ארץ מזדעזעה תחתיו, והבריות אומרות סורו מעליו, זהו שהרג את אחיו. This is obviously very midrashic, that everywhere Cain went, the land shook, and everyone knew, this is Cain, don't get close to him. Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Sure, I agree with you. He built cities. So Rashi chooses to deviate from the Pshat, but there is an agenda here. And the agenda is what? Is to portray Cain in a very negative way and to show the punishment in a very severe and harsh way. Interesting things, that's true. Not necessarily good. Yeah. Yeah.
And plus he was a farmer. He said he was wandering, but he was planting crop. You can't be a farmer and just keep wandering. Let this stay at least for a few seasons.
So he left a little bit this profession. He became a builder. Oh yeah, yeah. But he couldn't complete his job. That sounds like very much of an Israeli kablan. You know? Yeah, he starts and he's not necessarily going to finish it. You know, you need to pray. But the thing is that that's what Cain did. Vayi bone ir, vayikra et shem ha'ir keshem bno, chanoch. Going back to education, chinuch. Cain, he didn't want to be an educator. He knew the money is being a builder, not an educator. But the idea is what Cain did was really after he realized that the adama, he was very resourceful. After he realized that the adama is cursed because of him, he said, you know what? If I can't toil the land, I'm going to build on the land. And according to the Rashar Hirsch, for example, that we saw, they basically created civilizations. They progressed the world. The only thing is that they could not bring themselves to realize God. That was their problem. Realize to bring God into their lives. Yes, yeah, so don't forget. I will just say it. Adam and Chava has three known children. I said known children. We have no idea if they did not have more that were not worthy to be named. We don't know. A lot is not like billions. You know, yeah, relative. That's A. B. After we have the story of Cain and Hevel, we don't know what's happened with Adam and Chava. We only know that after Hevel died, she had a son and she called him Shet, Kishat li Elokim zera acher tachat Hevel asher harago Cain. But she might have more people, more children. That's A. B, when you see at the end of Perashat Bereshit, you see the genealogy, pitom you see all sorts of people. With names of only people that were, where it says, Ve'yaldu lo banim uvanot. And he begat sons and daughters. How many? We have no idea. Now, can you imagine? They lived until 900 years. They got married, let's say, when they were 100. youngsters. So for 800 years, they had the opportunity to have children. That's a lot of children. Yeah, but we don't know how old was he when he died. We have no idea. Oh, so that's what I'm saying. I think that Cain realized that that's what I'm saying, that there might be other people. Hey, he might was afraid from the animals. Animals can kill him. No, kol motzi, everyone who finds me. Can be an animal and can be a person. A. B. The second thing is that what I'm saying is that it might be that Adam and Chava had other children that are just not worthy to be in the Tanakh by name, but maybe they had them. Yes.
Uh-huh. So they were, like, who did they have children with? That they were there. So there were, it's not like there were no humanoid figures on earth. They were the first two with a soul.
Uh-huh. Interesting. There is a midrash. There is a midrash like that, that also the Zohar also said something very similar to that, that Adam and Chava had also gave birth to Shedim Veruchot. Demons, ghosts. So you call them soulless people. Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah, whatever it is, we have other creatures. Now, the fact that the Torah does not mention them does not mean anything. Because we don't care. It's not relevant. It doesn't teach us anything. The Torah does not describe exactly, you know, at the end, you know, how many people were in the world at the end of Parashat Bereshit, how many of them died in Parashat Noach, and how many of them started again. We just don't have that. We're not interested. Yes.
When Hashem punishes, it's very severe. It says whoever kills Cain will be punished 70 times. But when Lamech kills, doesn't he boast to his wives that he's killed a man?
Mm-hmm.
He said he's not punished because only because it was accidental.
I don't know. I think it's because it was accidental. He says, "Ish harakti lepitzi, ve something lechaburati," and that's it. And then we move on. There's just like nothing about him. So I don't know why we call people who are unlucky like leimechim. Okay, but I have no idea why. I mean, there's nothing to do with this leimech. So, this is the idea of what of Cain according to the Malbim. Says and Rashi says Rashar Hirsch, "Milifnei Hashem, ledat Chazal." לא רק יצא מן המקום, not only that he left the place, אלא נטש את כל יחסו אל השם. השליך את דבר השם מאחרי גבו. He abandoned God. He just left. He doesn't want to have anything to do with him. ביותו מנודה מאדם ואדמה, ביקש לבנות לו חיים עצמאיים. After he felt that he's being excommunicated from humanity, from God, and from the אדמה, he wanted to build for himself independent life. אף על פי שאדם כבר גורש מגן עדן, עדיין הוא עמד לפני השם. אך קין יצא מלפני השם כעונש על חטאו ועל התנהגותו שלאחר החטא. ראינו שהשכינה נסתלקה לצד מערב, ואילו קין פנה לצד מזרח קדמת עדן. כך הלך קין והתרחק מאת השם. היה זה ניסיונו הראשון של אדם להשליט את חייו על כוחו ועוצם ידו בלא עזרה אלוקית. The Rashar Hirsch in his metaphoric way of understanding the entire story of Cain Behevel, he says, Cain, after the punishment, not only didn't change his ways, he got worse. He basically went east, very much, by the way, like Lot. Vaisa Lot mikedem. The Midrash says, mikadmono shel olam. Basically, the idea is, Cain decided, you know what, if you're not going to help me, I'm going to do it all by myself. And later on, we see another generation of Cain, which is Nimrod. And what did he do? V'na'aseh lanu Shem, which means the ideology of I don't want God and I don't need God in my life. That's Cain, according to Rashar Hirsch. Ah, you're saying that when Cain decided to abandon God, he basically even punished him even more.
Himself.
Yeah, he punished himself even more. The only thing is this, what your statement is based on the assumption that people appreciate the fact that God is with them. That's we need to have the assumption, and Cain did not feel that. Cain felt that he really received a bad treatment from God. He was the original sacrificer. He was the original person to bring the sacrifice. His sacrifice was rejected. His brother, who shouldn't be there even, was accepted, and it was not fair. He didn't think that God treated him well, and therefore he said, you know what, after you punish me, I have nothing to do with you. That's the idea.
That's how people work. But that's not taking responsibility for your actions.
He can claim, I'm taking full responsibility of my actions. I don't need you, God. Don't help me. Don't hurt me. Let me do it by myself. Now, as I said before, those are challenges of humanity. You know what? We have the story on Bar Kochva that said the same thing. Al tetze betzivoteinu, v'al tilachem ba'adeinu. Don't help us. Don't damage us. Just let us be. Which means sometimes you say, and it was developed a little bit even more in theological way, is that, you know what? It's better to say that God created this world, then he went up there. He's not involved. We don't need him to be involved. So we don't want him to be involved because it's diminishing him or because we don't think he needs to. But what we see, and this is the beauty of this biblical story, is that the ramifications of it are so relevant to our lives. Says the Rasha Hirsh, continues on, he says, Einu omer vayi ven ir, ela vayi bone ir. Cain became a bone ir, which is what? Always, kol olazman, all the time, he builds buildings and cities. In Cain, echela sheifa chadasha, ha'ir. Cain transformed the economical environment from farming to building cities. The urban. The urban revolution. Cain היה תלוש מן הקרקע. Cain was detached from the karka, from the land. מנושל מן השדה. עזוב מעת השם ומנודה מחברת אדם. That's a horrible description. These guys should be really depressed. He has nothing to do with God, with humanity, with the land that he loved so much. So what does he have? מה עוד נותר לו? What does he have left? Notar le'atzmo. He has himself. Notru kochotav haruchaniim v'akishronot atmonim b'ishiyuto. He still has talent. By the way, any psychiatrist or psychologist in this room should take that and help people with it. You have a person that has nothing. No parents, no brother, no land, no God, no nothing. And he still does not jump from the bridge. What does he do? He realizes himself. There is something nice to learn from Cain. Atotza'a tivit hayta liyot bonei ir. So therefore, the natural inclination or response was what? To build a city. Ha'ir benigud lakfar tlusha min hakarka umenuteket min hachaklaut. The city, unlike the farming, is what? Is detached from the land. It's really being built on the land. And also no agriculture in the city. Yoshvea mitparnesim mikochot ha'adam. The people of the city are being sustained by human talent. Atotzeret ha'chaklait magi'a la'arim. The produce comes to the city. V'sham ya'abdua bet'em le'tzorchei ha'adam. And then they're going to what? To use it as they need for the people of the city. Ha'umanut v'ta'asiyah. מטביעות עליה את חותם השכל האנושי. You bring the produce, we, with our human talent, going to use it and upgrade it. You're going to bring me peanuts, I'm going to create bamba. You're going to bring me wheat and barley, and I am going to create a brioche. Okay? The idea is I'm going to take the raw material and I'm going to make it better. Akoach, the power, aruach, the spirit, akisharon, the talent, hem sadot liyoshvei ha'arim. the fields of operation or the realms of operation for the people in the city are totally different from the fields of operation for the farmer. Oh, he was the first one to build one.
But they had people that want to live there.
Sure. Fear. When you build a city, you feel protected. Don't forget the ancient, which is still the modern fear of humanity, is what? It's death. And in a city, you feel much more protected. So that goes back to our question about how many people. We don't know. And also, don't think that they built a city in a year. It took them time. And then you have children. And then you have other things. And you know what? I don't know, again. Oh, yeah, sure. You're talking about cities that you find, like here, the archaeological digs. You know, you go, this is the palace of King David. You look at... Right, you look at the palace and you say, okay, 5 rooms. Okay, that's a normal apartment, right? It's just like, it's not like what we imagine, like the Louis XVI, you know, in Paris, okay, in the palaces. It's not what we're talking about.
Arad?
Well, you have 1-2 rooms and that's it. That's what you have. You didn't need much. והם הולכים ומתפתחים כפי שיסופר להלן. הכפר שקוד על תרבות הקרקע והעיר על תרבות האדם. The kfar, the village, is established on what? On the culture of the kfar, the village. But the city is based on the culture of man. הכוחות הנמים באדם מתעוררים בעיר, כביכול האדם ניעור, ואולי מכאן שם העיר עיר. This is very creative. How do you say city in Hebrew? עיר, עין יוד רש. It's very similar to the verb of ur, להתעורר. To wake up. You know, you see, I think I read just recently, I read a research about in America, about people who come from the big cities and the people who come from the out of town, and you definitely see the differences. Also in creativity, in initiation, in ambition. It's something that, with all the other things that comes with it, okay? But, it's not only about, you know, lay back versus, you know, more pushy. It's much more. It's a reflection on your entire life, basically. So Cain is someone who started building cities, but building different cultures than the culture that he came from. Yes. Add to it one more thing. Cain separated himself from God and the humanity from God, but Migdal Bavel hegdila asot. Migdal Bavel added one more dimension. They're going to fight God. And I'm not talking about going to heaven with a sword. There is a lesson there. Not only that we don't need you, we're going to make you go away. We don't want anyone to know about you. That's why we can understand why Abraham was such a thorn in their eyes that they wanted to kill him. He came to talk about God when they tried to make God go away. So then the Rasha here says, האדם יפרח בעיר כעשב בשדה. ניגוד זה שבין עיר לכפר מתגלה גם בחוקים מאוחרים יותר. This contradiction or tension between the village and the city is also being revealed in other laws. Shevet Levi lo natal chelek bakarka, v'hu zacha be'arei ha-Leviim. The Levites did not get the land, but they got what? Cities. Harotzeach hugla me'admat ha-Kodesh. If someone killed by accident, he is being expelled from the land, but he can go into a city of Ir Miklat. Kederech she'kain gurash miklal ha-adama v'hugla la'ir ha-Miklat. V'chen batei arei ha-Choma nidonim ketlushim min ha-karka. הם עוברים לצמיתות מיד ליד כנכסי דניידי. ולפיכך אופייני הדבר, שהעיר הראשונה נוסדה על ידי קין. The first city was established by Cain. שהיה תלוש מן הקרקע, והיה תלוי רק בעצמו. He dependent only on himself. עם הולדת בנו הראשון ראה צורך לבסס את עתידו. With his firstborn son, חנוך, he wanted to establish his future, ולא הייתה לו דרך אחרת אלא להיות בוני עיר. This is unlike Rashi. Rashi here does not describe Cain as a really horrible person. Not a good one. He doesn't suggest that everyone should name his, you know, firstborn son Cain. But Cain had a problem. And he also had an advantage, which was what? Himself. He recognized the ultimate talent that he had. And by the way, if we read it like that, that's why I think also God, after the rejection of the sacrifice, he had a conversation with Cain, and he tells Cain what? Im teitiv set, you have it. Just believe in yourself. The problem is that Cain believed in himself a little bit too much. Or believed only in himself and not God, or didn't believe in himself at all. And that's what led him to the murder. So if I was a psychiatrist, a known one, I would probably give him some kind of an analysis of, at the beginning, he didn't believe in himself. Then he believed in himself too much. Very good. You are in love with yourself, or you are not. And I think Cain basically was indecisive, you will say, or undecisive? Indecisive in what exactly he is, or he is not. Isn't that the story of Cain?
On the other hand, Cain is the first one who wants to give a gift to God.
Oh, so we spoke about it. Yeah, we spoke about it in the prior Shiurim. I'm sorry, a lot about the idea that it's not fair. Cain was the original, and Hevel was China. All right. We spoke about that too. All those prior classes that we spent about. That was the longest 12 pages ever, I think. You know, we spoke about it for 12 weeks, I think. But the idea when we think, and we will conclude with the Malbim in a minute, but I just want to, you know, the title of the class was Etgarei HaEnoshut Me'az Ve'ad Yameinu, the challenges of humanity from then until today, and you see it. You see the depth of the psychology that the Torah describes to us in front of our eyes if we know how to read. Kind. If I want to give a 101 psychology lesson, I would say, look at him. He has tremendous talent. Everyone recognizes it. His mother, his God, he himself, his brother who was jealous at him. And then what's happened? There is one thing that goes wrong. And that thing that went wrong set everything on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which is almost sociopathic, because even if there were people, as far as we know, but he didn't have that, he didn't need to.
Look, the thing is, he was never okay, so I want to ask you a different question. In this entire conversation between God and Cain, did Cain heard God saying, what you did was wrong? Try to remember the conversation. What's the conversation? One second. What's the conversation? Aye evel achicha. Where is your brother? Vayomer ashomer achi anochi. Am I my brother keeper? No idea. Says God, quote, Me'asita, what have you done? Kol dmei achecha tzoakim elai mina adama. The bloods of your brother are crying out to me from the land. Arur tiye. Okay, so I'm still waiting for what? For Cain, what have you done? You were not allowed to do it. It's an evil thing to do. Nothing. Is that true? No, you're nodding your head there. Are you reading? So it's true. Never. When we think about it, it's you know, when our child, sibling, parent, whatever it is, student, does something wrong, what do we do? What do we say? What have you done? It was wrong. You need to explain to him. You know what? Even in order to punish someone, according to the Talmud, you need to give him atra'a. What is atra'a? Warning. You need to tell him, look, if you're going to do A, B, and C, that's going to be your punishment. Go ahead. Which means I'll give you an interpretation that I'm not sure I believe in it, but I'll give you an interpretation in order to deviate from your follow-up question, is to say, it is so sad. The potential of your brother, because it says blood, damcha v'dam zariyotav, damo v'dam zariyotav, is crying out from the land. And I need to revenge his blood, interpretation number one. Second interpretation is just so sad. Look what you have done. Third, you know what? It's going to be a vivid memory in your mind forever, that this blood will be in your memory forever. I was creative, I know. Because I know your follow-up question. I can interpret it also as, look what you have done. But he doesn't say it was wrong, which is strange. Yes. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think it's more than that. He says, your brother's blood is crying out. As the whole world is screaming how terrible this is. You can't go anywhere without this being known. Cain thinks he's all by himself and no one's seen there. On the field, blah, blah, undetected. The land itself is bearing testimony to its crime. The typical response of the child is upon that behavior is to say, I didn't do anything. It wasn't my fault.
Mm-hmm.
There's admission, but not responsibility.
Okay, so basically Cain does not take any responsibility. Never, not at that moment, and not ever. And not only that, I am not sure that he thinks that he did something so wrong. Hevel should not be there from the get-go. Going back to your Hevel question. Even his mother agrees with him. Ah, that's prior classes. Yeah. Do what? Sure. Oh, yafe. He might think that he got a punishment because God decided now that it's wrong. And in order to avoid it in the future, he was the punished. He had to be punished. But that's it. You know what? I'll add to it. This is one of the problems that we have when we try to, you know, receive or to draw lessons from biblical stories, is we come with our assumptions. We know that murder is what? Is evil. There is no justification to murder, there is no nothing. Only justified murder will be killing for self-defense or for whatever it is. So we come with those assumptions that became our societal norm, hopefully. It doesn't come like that. So perhaps God expected him to know that. That with all due respect, you didn't give life, don't take life. Or alternatively, look at you. Look at your menu. You are not allowed to eat meat, according to one opinion, so which means what? You can't kill animals. If you cannot kill animals, don't kill people. On the other hand, they had no idea what is death. No one died yet. No one died that we know of. So by trying to, you know, when he, let's say he stabbed him 20 times until Hevel was done. Or according to the Orach Chaim, he brought him to this Bolan, to this, what do you call it? Quicksand. Yeah, quicksand. That, and then he just dropped there. He didn't know what happened to him. He had no idea. He's just not moving. I don't know, maybe he will wake up tomorrow. Maybe he just fell asleep. Our understanding is if he doesn't have a pulse, he's dead. Cain, I'm not sure, knew that. Now, I know it sounds like very primitive, but we come with our assumptions. And I'm not sure if he had those assumptions or not. Now, I will tell you one thing. I will say, you know what, maybe I'll keep it. Let's see Malbim, and then I'll give you another theory that I have. The Malbim said the following. Vayeda, achar shera'a shenitrachek me'aviv. So Cain had a child, right? Shenitrachek me'aviv, ra'a le'amid banim shelo yeh yechidi ba'olam. So Cain, after he realizes, basically he's also removed himself from his father, so he decided he's going to have children, so he will not be the only person on earth. That's what he thought. Uve'er ki lo yibem eshet hevel. He didn't take Hevel's wife. He didn't want to take Hevel's wife. Why? Because it will be Ratzachta gam Yarashta. You murder the guy and then now you take his wife. So he built a city. Because he was the first murderer who basically destroyed the first natural moral ethics, which was not to murder. שבזה יהיו בני אדם כדגי הים איש את ראהו חיים יבלע, רצה לתקן זאת במה שיבנה עיר שבה התחברו האנשים לקיבוץ מדיני ויעשו ביניהם חוקים ונימוסים. He thinks that Cain repented, and that's why he built a city. Because what did he do before? He murdered someone, which means this is a lesson for people to kill each other, to separate themselves from each other. לבנות עיר, in order to build a city, what do you need? The cooperation of everyone together. And they need to create some kind of a policy which will allow them to live happily ever after. So according to the Malbim, he was trying to repent. ובאופן שיעזרו לזה לזה, ויין שהיה עדיין נודד, היה בו נעיר, שיסד את העיר ולא ישלימה, רק עסק בבניין, but because he had to wander from one place to another, he just initiated the building and then he had to move on. ויקרא שם העיר כשם בנו, כי חפץ שחנוך בנו ישלים אותה, ויציב דלתיה ותיקרא על שמו. And what he did is that he let his son to complete the city, and the city will be named after his son חנוך. והוא ייסד הנהגת העיר, שזה יסוד לחוכמת הנהגת המדינה. And he established the way the city should run, based on the policies that he will make. והגם שתחילה היו בניו מועטים, and even though at the beginning he had only few children, נולד לחנוך את עירד, עד שירבו בנים ובני בנים, ונתרבה הקיבוץ. So they had children and more descendants until they gathered enough people, ועל ידי זה התחזקו בממשלה ובכוח, והעיר הייתה גדולה ומושלת ממשל רב. והבנים שחשב פה היו אדירים והנודעים בעת ההיא. So he mentioned only what? The children that were strong and contributed something to the development of the city, which means what? There were many others who didn't contribute in such an innovative way, but they contribute in manpower. וסיפר הכתוב שלכן העריך השם לבני קין למען תתיישב הארץ, והם היו לבני שת כעלים החופפים על הפרי, והם חידשו המלאכות והאומנויות שכל זה היה צריך ליישוב העולם אשר לשבת יצרה. This Malbim is so important. In a way, God allowed Cain to be a builder and to his descendants to settle the land because Hashem has two main goals. One, Lashevet Yetzara, which means what? To settle the land. B, the second goal, is when you settle the land, you need to know that I exist. That my presence is in your life. He thought that Cain can do it, but Cain chose what? To focus only on settling the land, forgetting God. Therefore, after Hevel died, who do we have? Shet. And Shet, and later on Shem, needs to do what? To educate the Cainites, not the Canaanites, the Cain descendants, that God is in their lives. Now, Bnei Shet needs Bnei Cain. You know why? Because Bnei Cain know how to build cities. They know how to create civilizations. They know how to create inventions that help humanity. And you know what Shet can do? Inject everything with the divine presence, with spirituality. The problem was Dor HaMabul. In the generation of the flood, what happened was that there was a mixture between Bnei Cain and Bnei Shet, or the daughters of Cain, and basically they took them down with them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Noah does not talk too much. And then God does talk to Abraham only later on. He talks to the children of Noah once, and then he speaks to Abraham. But the idea is, and now you can see something very interesting. Cain and Hevel probably were the prototype for what? For Esav and Yaakov, for Ishmael and Yitzchak, for Yosef and his brothers, for Issachar and Zvulun, for the Jewish people and the other nations, which is what? Which to create two two essential paths in the world that should be together. Build, settle, invent, but inject it with spirituality. And when there is a netek, when there is a disconnect, both are not good. The idea of bringing them together and knowing that God is involved with every invention we do, that's the purpose. So now I will come up with my theory based on the Malbim. Cain was probably very much like a better version of Esav. A better version than Esav. He was, basach hakol, a good guy. A farmer. He started like that. He wanted to inject spirituality in his work. He was the first one to bring what? The Korban. The problem with him is that he didn't know how to do it. How to inject spirituality. Therefore, Hevel, who was all about spirituality, tried to teach him. You bring the best. The problem is that he didn't bring the best out of Cain. Cain became jealous. And why? Because of his misguided understanding or misunderstanding of what does it mean to be close to God. It's not that you just throw God some crumbs, say thank you and move on, but you really understand that what you have belongs to him to some extent. Cain realizes that, that he doesn't want to realize that because it will take away from his kind, from his kinyan, from his abilities. But God gives him a chance. It says, imitativ set. If you will repent, not only that you will be able to come back, but set, litromem, you will be elevated. Because you will be my guy. You will be the person that I am looking forward to have. Because your father failed. But Cain chooses to do the wrong thing. He kills Hevel. He didn't know what it is, or he did know. He killed spirituality. He basically says, we don't need it. This is nonsense. Cain?
Yeah.
Yeah. But on his...
But
he invented... But he invented fake spirituality. He invented, what do I mean by fake spirituality? I mean, let's just give God something so he will be quiet. That was his problem, according to most Chazal, that you don't bring the best thing. And according to some, not only that he didn't bring the best, he brought the lousy of the lousy, which obviously reflects just have, take it and be quiet.
Mm-hmm. But here, unless he had some model of thought something, that's what he, in his mind, was the best.
I'm not sure that in his mind it was the best. I think purposely he didn't bring the best. Because he doesn't think that God deserves it. Yeah, but you know what? How do you say thank you is also important. And kind bechavana in a way, and we spoke about it a little bit, he wanted to show his power, his authority over God. That's why it's so tempting to be an idol worshiper. You create your God and you tell him what to take. This is great. Instead of what do we have? We have this God who tells us what to do and how to behave. It's hard, challenging. Cain created in a way fake spirituality and Hevel tried to correct it. Cain didn't like it. Then after Cain realized that his spiritual invention was rejected, he decided what? No more spirituality. I don't need it. It's all about me. You have religious people that act like that. That's the problem. The what? They think that they are the most religious people ever. The what? Oh, we have that. That people sometimes do religious things, but some of them think that they do it as a favor to God. Some doing that as just as a cultural thing. Some doing that for the shidduch for their daughters and sons later on. And some people do it because, I don't know, they have nothing else to do at home. Sometimes when people give tzedakah, they think they control God by giving tzedakah. That's like their way to pay him to be quiet and just to continue on the good mazel that they have. So there are many things that we can speak about, but really Cain, and I'm going back to what the Rashar here said a few weeks ago, Kaniti ish et Hashem. It's about me. It's about me buying my way. Spiritually and physically. Very good. But you know what? It's mother's fault. We're going back to Freud, right? It's all about his mother. But you know what? Think about Adam and Chava in that light. Adam and Chava were put in Gan Eden to do what? Le'ovda u'le'shomra. To maintain it, to keep it, and to toil it. And to understand that God mitalech bagan. To do these two things. When you think about it, this was the challenge for humanity from day one. Build, maximize your human potential, but never lose sight of me. Etgarei ha'enoshut mi bereishit ve'ad yameinu. So, okay. So, in order to conclude with something optimistic, I will say the following. I do believe that many of the revolutions that we experience, might be the Industrial Revolution, the printing revolution, and many other revolutions, I think the world progressed to some extent. Obviously, there are regressions on other areas. But I think that when you look at tofaot, some phenomena today, you see that there is a reaction. Always there is a reaction, because talking from a sociological perspective, society reacts to different things. You see that, because we are so attached to the phones, whatever, so now you have a phenomena of what? Of vacations that you need to leave your phone in a box. You can't bring it to the lobby. You know, you have people who are longing for what? For real, face-to-face things. You have more chevrati things because of the feeling of injustice. I do believe, and I really see it, I think, that the thirst for spirituality in our generation is tremendous. It's not exactly the traditional spirituality that we had in mind, or what we imagine. But I think people are looking. People are seeking more. They will not call it necessarily spirituality. They will call it meaning. They want some meaning. And I think this is something that we need to encourage and also to understand. We will never have, never, I don't think, the perfect balance all the time. Because every day we are also different. We wake up today on the left side or on the right side, and that can affect our day. So the balance will change. So what is the lesson? A, to know at least the expectation. And B, to try to see what can we do in order to really to create this integration. That's it. Next week we'll have a different subject.
You know,